Christ is in our midst. We are getting close. This is the last Sunday of Great Lent. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday already. And then the following Sunday is Pascha. We're in that time of preparation. You ever think of your life as a time of preparation? The disciples, the apostles, James and John, who had been listening to the gospel that was just read by Deacon Jeff, had said to the Lord, we have a favor to ask you, Lord. Could one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left? The kingdom, in that glorious kingdom. And it's interesting, the context in which they said that. Jesus had just said to them, we need to go to Jerusalem, where I am going to lay down my life. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to suffer the hand of the Gentiles and of the Jews. Like they hadn't heard it. You know, he had said this several times before. And one of those times before, Peter had spoken up and said, Lord, that's not right. May this never happen to you. And you remember the words of Jesus, get behind me, Satan. You're thinking of things that are of the dark side. Jesus is a God who loves us. Jesus is one of the Holy Trinity who created us. And why did he create us in the beginning? He created us to share in his life, in his love, and in his glory. That's why he created us. So it wasn't all bad what James and John were thinking. They were thinking, Lord, you have come to establish the kingdom. You're the Messiah who's going to bring in that glorious time of the restoration of all things. Restore again paradise. So of course it's part of the nature of who we are that God has created us for glory. He really has. But it's not quite time yet. This is not the time of glory. It really isn't. You know, this reminds me of my dad. He passed away over a year ago now. But the last couple of years of his life, he would get mixed up on what time it was. And I can remember one time, he really had us wondering. He said that, you know, he said, the sun never came up yesterday. The sun never came up once yesterday. I said, Dad, you know, we live here too. And the sun came up where we live. Well, it didn't here. And we found out when we talked to caretakers, you know. They said, oh yeah, Andy gets a little mixed up sometimes. And he'll come out to the dining hall and sit and wonder why we're not giving him his breakfast or his lunch or his dinner. Say, Andy, not time yet. And he'll say that he wouldn't even feed me, you know. He had his time mixed up. John and James had their time mixed up. This isn't the time of glory yet. This is the time when we pick up our cross. We take up our cross and we follow him. You ever wonder, Jesus, do you really love me? God, do you love me? How can you ask that question? Look, does God love us? He went to the
cross and he died for us. He suffered and died for us.
And Jesus says to you and me, do you love me? And he looks at our cross. Where's our cross? It's interesting that Jesus didn't say to his disciples, you know, by the way, I'm on my way to Jerusalem and you've been following me all along through my ministry when I've been raising the dead and healing the sick and giving sight to the blind. But now I'm going to Jerusalem and it's time for you to hide. You don't want to go there with me. It's dangerous. No, he said, we are going to Jerusalem. Let us go. We must go to Jerusalem. I don't know about you, but I feel kind of ashamed when I think of this whole Lenten season and how little I have suffered. I mean, I certainly could have eaten much less at my meal times, but it's so hard to stop when the soup tastes pretty good. And I want to eat and be full. I'm just sharing with you some of my own personal struggles, but I know that all of you have also come to this time during Lent, and you wonder, how much was I willing to suffer just a little extra? Just a little extra. Maybe give extra money for the poor, pray a little extra, spend more time in prayer, and eat less. That I can feel a little bit of pain, a little suffering. You know, there are two kinds of courage. I think I've shared this with you before because I've got it here. Something I've said here before. There are two different kinds of courage. One is an instinctive reaction. And I can give you an example of that. When we were missionaries in Chiapas, Mexico, years ago, Gene Meerdink was one of the missionaries we served with, and he and his wife were staying in a motel somewhere in Mexico. They were traveling, and he had to speak somewhere, or be at a meeting, but what happened was he was up there, I say up because I think it was a second story, as I remember. The second story where he was in the motel room. And someone broke into the room. A thief broke in. And it was during the nighttime while they were in their bed sleeping. And Gene woke up. Now Gene was a football player. And he was a big, strong man. Instinctively, Gene jumped out of bed and went to get that guy, grabbed him, and the guy had a knife and put into Gene's side, and we almost lost Gene. The doctors told us that if that knife blade had been over just a fraction of an inch, it would have severed one of his arteries, and he would have died within minutes. That was courage on Gene Meerdink's part, but it was instinct. He didn't think, okay, now, should I risk my life to get... No. If he had thought this through, he would have just stayed right in bed and let the thief take whatever little bit he could find and leave. But his instinct said, I'm going to stop him. I'm going to go the dangerous route. No. Then there's another kind of courage, which can see ahead and see what's going to happen and yet go on and take action. Jesus looked ahead and he knew what was coming and yet he went on. That's the life that we live as Christians. We know that when we take up our cross, we are going to suffer in this world. We know that. We shouldn't be surprised. And yet we go on. And I've got several passages here where there are examples of the disciples of Jesus who knew that they were going to have to suffer, and yet they went on. Stephen was martyred. Remember the proto-martyr Stephen? Well, Herod, later on, also put to death James, the one who said, "Can I sit at your right hand?" And the Lord said, "Are you able to be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized?" "Yeah, yeah, I'm able." Remember, he said, "Yeah, yeah, we're able." He said, "Yes, you will be baptized with this baptism of suffering and death, James and John." So James was the first of the apostles to be put to death. The brother of John was put to death by the sword by Herod. Remember, Herod said, "Boy, the Jews really like this." Remember that in chapter 12, Acts chapter 12? He saw that the Jews liked it, that he took James and killed him. And so he grabbed Peter. And you know the story. He put Peter in prison and he was going to kill Peter. Well, then the angel got Peter out of prison. Anyway, they knew suffering was part of their life. John, the brother of James, then, was on the Isle of Patmos. And he says, "I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus." He said, "I was on the Isle of Patmos and had this vision." I'm glad for the vision that God's people had in the New Testament. You know, St. Stephen, the proto-martyr, he had a vision while he was dying, while the Jews were taking up stones and they were stoning him to death. He looked up and he said, "I see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God. He's in control. He has conquered. He is the one I put my trust in." And they gritted their teeth. They were so mad at him. And then he knelt down. His last words were, "Lord, do not lay this charge against them." Words of compassion and love. Well, this is our lot. People, we shouldn't be too surprised when we suffer in this world. St. Mary of Egypt is a saint that we commemorate this week. This is the Sunday of St. Mary of Egypt. If you were here Wednesday night, you heard the story, a beautiful story. She was one who repented of her sin. She lived a sinful life. And then she dedicated herself to a life of asceticism and struggle and suffering in the desert. What I found very interesting on the life of St. Mary of Egypt was that she was in that desert for 48 years. She fought against her passion. She was in the desert for 48 years. And she recounts the story herself and says, "The first 17 years in the desert, I was attacked without relent from the devil. He always came at me." For 17 years, she struggled with certain temptations and thoughts of her former life. You know, Satan just bombarded her with that. And she says, this is what she confesses to Father Zosima. She said to him, "When such desires entered me, I struck myself on the breast. And in my thoughts, I returned to the icon of the Mother of God which had received me. And I cried to the Mother of God in prayer, and I implored her to chase away the thoughts to which my miserable soul was succumbing. And after weeping for long and beating my breast, I used to see light at last, which seemed to shine on me from everywhere. And after the violent storm lasting now descended. Imagine the struggle of her soul, not just once or twice, but for 17 years. You know, we look at the saints and we say, oh, they're saints. You know, they could do that. Are you able? Am I able to do this kind of thing? To struggle like that? No, we aren't. Neither were the saints. They weren't able either. But they called on God. They called on the prayers of God's people. And when they called on God, when they called on the saints to surround them with prayer, God answered their prayers. It wasn't instantaneous. It was, you know, I asked you, Lord, to help me. And what do I get? 17 years, people. And we give up after a moment's notice, don't we? And we give in to our anger. We give in to our whatever passion it is that we struggle with. Maybe it's time we strike our breast. God, no! Chase away that temptation. Chase away this anger, this lust, this whatever it is. People, I struggle. I want you to know that. I struggle just as much as the rest of you. But I say we have one who hears our prayers. So this is the time. What time is it? Is it time for glory? Or is it the time to struggle? It's the time to struggle. It's the time, and that's all right. We've been called to it. Jesus said, we are going to Jerusalem. Let's go with it. And when we get to Jerusalem on Pascha, oh, I get goosebumps just thinking of it. Jesus does battle with Satan and death, and he is the victor. He who died rose again. And then we will share in that glorious resurrection victory. In 2 weeks, I'm going to say, Christ is risen. And you're going to say, truly he is risen. But it's not time yet. Not time yet for us to celebrate that glorious Pascha. Do you love the Lord? Look what he's done. When he looks at us and says, do you love me? He looks for our cross. May we with joy pick up our cross and follow him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Spirit.